Good morning. Briefly, as I begin, I just wanted to mention last Sunday and just to offer an apology to anyone who might have been upset by some of the content of the sermon last week. For those who are visiting, it wasn't me speaking, by the way. We weren't aware of what was going to be shared beforehand. And if you'd like to discuss it further, do come and have a chat with me or Elsie or one of the elders. You might like to have the passage open for today from Matthew chapter 3. It's page 967 if you've got one of the church Bibles. Today's a great day of anticipation, isn't it? From the very beginning, maybe you knew it was a baptism today, maybe you didn't, maybe you walked in and saw that the baptistry was open, and there's this beginning sense of anticipation, isn't there? This beginning sense of build and looking forward. And people have been telling me through the last few weeks how they're looking forward to this Sunday, this kind of anticipation and excitement about a baptism. And certainly this building sense of anticipation as we go through the service. And now you know you just have to wait for me to stop talking and then we will be at the point of baptism. And I suspect that's very much in Leah and David's minds right now. We have those moments sometimes, don't we, of great anticipation. A wedding day has that sense of building anticipation. That sense, perhaps, if you've been invited to a wedding, the invite usually comes in 6 or 9 months, or even you get a save the date card a year in advance, and the date goes in your diary, and there's a sense of building anticipation that this date is coming. And then nearer the time, you begin to get yourself prepared. Maybe you've got to go somewhere quite different and look at where you're going and find somewhere to stay, and this building anticipation that the day is getting nearer. And of course, on the wedding day itself, you know, get yourself dressed up, usually in some of the nicest clothes that you've got, get yourself all prepared, ready to go to the wedding. And then there's this bit where everybody's kind of come into the wedding. We don't have many things like it in some ways, where everybody's there and gathered together and you're waiting for the bride to arrive. And it's interesting how you kind of get different atmospheres in those kind of times, that as people kind of gather, because people come really early for weddings, people usually get there very early because you know it's the kind of thing that you don't want to miss the beginning, because there's this anticipation for when the bride is going to walk down the aisle. And usually people are kind of all chatting together and kind of lots of noise, and people may haven't seen each other for a long time. It's all sorts of chatting. And then as you get nearer and nearer the time that the wedding's going to start, there's just hush that kind of descends. People begin to just sit quietly and listen to maybe the organist playing some music. And there's this anticipation of the bride coming. And picture the scene for a moment that you're there, you've done all of that building up, that preparation, that anticipation. You're sat there, you're dressed in your finest clothes, and you're waiting. And there's this point where finally the minister comes to the front and says, "Would you please stand for the bride?" Everybody stands up, and you look around, and the bride walks in. And she's dressed in jeans and a hoodie. There would be different kinds of gasps to the ones normally at that moment, wouldn't there? This great anticipation, and yet not perhaps quite what was expected. And actually, there's a sense of that which is going on in this passage that we've got today. Because in the verses just before this, in Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist is saying this. He's saying, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." This is the kind of preamble that John gives to the one who's going to come after him. And in the next verse, we get Jesus coming, the one who's going to come after John, and we get, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John." This is not the kind of thing that we're expecting by this kind of build-up that John's given. He's going to come with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And then Jesus turns up and says, "Oh, John, would you baptize me?" They're expecting God to show up in some kind of dramatic way. That's what John's pointing to. It's what people were waiting for, that God was going to show up in some kind of dramatic way. These words, Holy Spirit and fire and cleaning up and sorting out the righteous from the unrighteous. That's what people were looking for. That's what people were expecting. And then Jesus shows up and says, "Would you baptize me?" And this kind of relatively small and seemingly insignificant, just with everybody else, all these other people who were coming and being baptized, just another one. And John gets it. John the Baptist has seen that Jesus is the one who's coming after him, that Jesus is the one he's preparing the way for. And so that's why he says to him in verse 14, "I need to be baptized by you. You are coming to me, asking me to baptize you, but I'm the one that needs the baptism that you're meant to be bringing of Holy Spirit and fire. Why are you asking me to baptize you? That's not what this was meant to be. And he tries to put him off. John sees that Jesus is the one that he's preparing the way for. And yet Jesus receives John's baptism. And actually, as he does, we find that we can learn a lot about who Jesus is and what baptism is all about. Jesus says to him in verse 15, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness." Why is it that Jesus gets baptized by John? Well, it's not because of his sin. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance and forgiveness. That people would actually come and they would confess their sins, often in a public way. They'd actually come and say the things that they had done wrong in front of a bunch of people. David and Leah will be pleased to know that's not quite the way that we do it today. But when you hear their testimonies, you'll hear bits of actually them, they are willing to talk about some of how actually they've struggled to follow God in different parts of their lives. People come and they confess their sins, they'd repent, they turn from the things that they have done wrong, and then they'd be baptized as a symbol of that sin being washed away. It's one of the questions that we ask in baptism. Do you turn from sin, renounce evil, and intend to follow Christ? Baptism has this sense of turning away from sin. But of course, Jesus had never sinned. Jesus was holy. He was the only person ever to live to not do anything wrong, to live a perfect life. He's the example that we should follow. And so he wasn't being baptized for repentance and for forgiveness of his sin. So then why was he baptized? Well, in a sense in which actually the fact that the rest of us are the ones who have sinned and done wrong is part of why he was baptized. That actually in his baptism he identifies with us. He shows his solidarity with us as a sinful people. When presidents or prime ministers go and visit somewhere that's had a particular disaster, what they're seeking to go and show is that they're willing to be amongst those people, that actually they're willing to show solidarity and be with them. There's a sense in which Jesus' baptism shows something of that to us, of his willing to be with us. But it's more than just a sense of solidarity. In Jesus' baptism, he becomes a representative of us. This great expectation that people had that Jesus was going to come and bring the kingdom of God with the Holy Spirit and fire is finding its fulfillment in Jesus humbly coming and identifying with his people, with people like you and me who've got things wrong, that he would come and he would live our life and die our death. His baptism functions as a way of kind of symbolically anticipating what Jesus would do on the cross. It's a symbol that points us forward to something that was going to happen years later. We saw something which could in some ways function as a symbolic anticipation just a couple of months ago, I think it was now, when this action happened. Now, just for a moment, if in months or years' time, Theresa May does step down as Prime Minister and Boris Johnson becomes Prime Minister, I'm not offering any hope, but I'm just saying, should that happen, then actually the actions of this man, Simon Brodkin, would be seen in a very different way, as not just something that was kind of a funny joke or a political point at the time, but actually something that symbolically anticipated something that would happen in the future. If you can't quite see it, this was the moment at the Tory party conference when a comedian, if you look at him that way, came and somehow managed to get up to the front and hand Theresa May a P45, which is the form you get given when you leave a job. And turned to Boris Johnson and said something along the lines of, "I did what you asked." It was a symbolic action, which, should Theresa May end up standing down, would be shown to be a great anticipation of something that's happened. Jesus, in his baptism, anticipates what will happen on the cross. That on the cross he'll be fully identified with our sin, with the sin of humankind, and pay the price for it. And here in baptism, he undergoes a symbol of that death. Part of baptism is a symbol of death. that when someone is baptized, they're lowered down into the water. For just a moment, they're submerged in a watery grave. Jesus undergoes, years before his death on the cross, a symbol of the death that he would die in anticipation of what he would do in dying for our sin. Jesus' baptism was in anticipation of that. Today, when David and Leah are baptized, it's identification with what Jesus has done. That actually when they're baptized, they're saying that Jesus died for them, that his death and his resurrection was for them. That it wasn't just something that happened, just an event in history, but they believe that Jesus died for them as their Savior. It's another question that we ask when they're baptized. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? That baptism, their symbolic burial in that water, is a moment of saying that Jesus' death was for them. Jesus identifies with us, and it's a symbol pointing forward to his death on the cross, his death for our sin. But it's not just anticipation. Jesus also gives us an example to follow. Jesus gives us an example to follow of his own baptism. And here actually we see in Jesus' baptism that he acknowledges God's claim upon him, that he's to do the will and what the Father wants for him. And here in his baptism, it's part of his obedience to the Father's will for him. And I wondered, as I was thinking about this week, and I hadn't kind of asked this question for myself before, but I thought for a moment, what would have happened if Jesus had actually not been baptized? I mean, certainly we'd have less of an example to follow in the sense of seeing the importance of baptism as something that Jesus himself did. But also, as you look through the Gospels and you see the kind of part that Jesus' baptism plays, we see it as the beginning of his ministry. It kind of kicks off a lot of what he then does. We read about it here too, this kind of affirmation that he receives from his Father. This is my Son, whom I love. We see as well this very public and visual way that he's shown to be full of the Holy Spirit. These things that just wouldn't have happened had he not been willing to be baptized. And of course, out of anybody, I would have thought that Jesus could be the person who could say, well, you know, actually, well, baptism, that's not really something that's for me. That's for other people. You know, I don't really need to be baptized, not having done anything wrong. You know, actually, that could be something for other people. It's fine if they want to do it, but it's not something for me. Surely out of anybody, Jesus could be the one who could say, actually, no, I don't really need to do that. Thank you. And yet he is willing to humble himself and be obedient to be baptized. And I wonder if perhaps you're here and you haven't been baptized. And maybe need to ask yourself what's holding you back. Because of course there are valid reasons for not being baptized. If you can't say yes to the questions that David and Leah will be asked later on, a couple of them I've already mentioned. If you can't say yes to those questions, then of course that's a reason to not be baptized. But if you can, I wonder what's holding you back. And if you don't, then I wonder what you're missing out on. I know from my own story, when I was baptized, it wasn't something that kind of came as a great kind of turning point. And one of the things that I think is difficult for us sometimes in church today is we're great at putting things off. Is we're great at kind of delaying things and making things harder for ourselves. And I think it is difficult for those who've grown up in the church to find what's the right time to be baptized. For me, I certainly knew a sense of that. And when I felt that I should be baptized, and I remember sitting down with the minister of the church at the time, and he said, well, why do you want to be baptized? And I kind of actually found myself struggling to answer that question for him. And he said to me, well, I think you're making this harder for yourself than it needs to be. Actually, it's okay to be baptized because you're being obedient to God. And I know for myself that actually my baptism played a significant part in my journey, not because it was a suddenly big a turning point, a big change on that day that suddenly everything was different. But I can look back and see how in my own story, in my own journey, the place where I am today, none of that journey started until the point where I'd been baptized. And I don't know, but I wonder a lot if I hadn't been baptized, if I would have ever ended up in the place where I am today. For me, it marked something of that turning point and that change where God began to take my life in a new direction. Jesus gives us the example of baptism. But it isn't just the lead up to baptism. We see actually the result, the impact of the baptism on the life of Jesus. We see the Holy Spirit come and descend upon him like a dove. The Holy Spirit in a very visible way for all to see. And that was important and significant at the time, because many people at the time had begun to believe that God's Holy Spirit wasn't at work in the world. And if it was at work in any way, then it definitely wasn't at work in the world like it had been when the prophets were speaking and writing. God definitely wasn't working in the world like he used to. And actually this symbol, this sign for all to see, showed that actually a new era was beginning, that actually it marked Jesus as the one who was anointed by God, the one who was full of the Spirit of God, equipped by him to bring in the kingdom, equipped by him to save. And today we continue to see the Holy Spirit at work in baptism. There's a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that says actually all of us need the Holy Spirit just to say that Jesus is Lord, that we can't declare Jesus as Lord without the help of the Holy Spirit. And so I definitely believe that David and Leah already had the Holy Spirit at work in them, because they can't get to this point today of being willing to declare Jesus as Lord without the help of God. But we still see today how in baptism God's at work by his Holy Spirit. How he brings assurance, how he brings equipping, how he brings gifts. And when we do the baptisms later, we'll take a moment just afterwards, you'll all sing, and I'll take a moment just to pray with David and with Leah that God's Spirit might fill them today and be at work in them now. We see the impact of baptism in the filling of the Holy Spirit. We also see the impact of baptism in Jesus with this powerful statement, a voice from heaven that says, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." This powerful affirmation Jesus receives from the Father of his love, of his assurance. And it wouldn't have been missed by the people who read these words when they were first written, that actually at this point we see the Trinity at work, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit all at work at this moment. The God that we worship is God the Father, God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. But these words show us something significant about Jesus. That actually he's not just someone who was a good person, an example for us to follow, a good moral teacher. But actually he's the Son of God. That actually he's God with us. The people had this great anticipation that God was going to show up and do something. And God did show up. And he was doing something right before them. It just wasn't in the way that they expected. God was bringing salvation to them through his Son in the only way, the only one who could. And the Father was pleased with what the Son was doing. Baptism is a marker for us that we are God's children. It's a marker today for David and Leah that they are God's children. We thought a bit about Adoption Sunday already today. And adoption is a very powerful picture that we have of what God has done with us. That he has adopted us into his family. We picked out some of the difference that it can make to children, some of the brokenness that we see in our society, and how huge an impact it can be where children are welcomed into a home and adopted into a family, even just for a short term. We've been adopted by God. And baptism functions as an initiation into that family. To be God's children. But also to the family of faith. There's an initiation, I'm sorry, David and Leah, into the family beside you. Your brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm sorry about that, because some of us are pretty weird. But we're a family of faith as we go through this together. And in baptism is something that a step that we take on our own, but we don't walk this journey alone. As I think Amy prayed for us earlier, that actually we support one another as we continue to follow Christ together. And as the Father was pleased with the Son when he was baptized, so I can assure you today, David and Leah, that God is pleased with you as you take this step today. There was this great anticipation as people waited. John spoke of the Holy Spirit and of fire. There's great anticipation as people looked to what God was going to do next. And Jesus walks onto the scene and doesn't come with what people expected. Arrived in a very different way. But he came to save. He came to heal, to bring the kingdom of God. And as we submit to him and as we follow him, perhaps what he asks of us won't always be what we expect. Perhaps he may ask of us to lay down our ways of doing things, to lay down our own plans, to lay down our own expectations, to humble ourselves and submit to what his will for us is. And perhaps you already have a sense of what that might mean for you today. Perhaps you might already have an expectation that maybe is unmet in some way, that maybe you need to lay down. Perhaps you recognize there's something that you need to submit to God's will in. Perhaps you realize that you just need to humble yourself and be willing to accept whatever he has for you. Maybe for some today that's the challenge and the call to be baptized. Maybe it's for something else. But I believe he all asks us all to humble ourselves and submit to him and follow him as we see Jesus obedient to the Father. And as we do, we find that our Father comes to us. He affirms us. He affirms our love for us as his children. He equips us with his Holy Spirit that we might be made pure by him and that our lives might be used by him as we humbly submit to his will. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the example of David and Leah today and how they've taken this step to be obedient to you, to humbly submit themselves and to stand out from the world around them in choosing to follow you. Lord, we ask that you bless them this day. And Lord, that in their testimony, in their witness to us, in the example of Jesus, Lord, you'd speak to each one of us. Lord, you'd help us to hear your call in our lives. And Lord, in the power of your Spirit, that you'd help us to be obedient to you. Lord, that we might follow you, not for our glory, but that you might be made known in this world, that your will might be done in our lives, and your kingdom might come in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.